Afternoon, everybody. It's good to see you out there. This is Janet Hickox and Cornelia Stephanie for the Ascension and Astrology Show. Welcome, welcome. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. Happy Valentine's Day to you, Cornelia.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and everyone else. And I just want to say right off the bat that you and I are not together in person this time. And I miss my buddy sitting next to me. I miss my buddy sitting next to me when we're doing this show because we launched the show,
Yeah.
doing it together. But because we've been snowed in over the last past week, snow has kept us apart. But thank God to technology because here we are, we can still
Yeah.
do this, right?
Absolutely. You know what's funny is I wasn't sure if the garbage man was going to make it today because today's our garbage and recycling day. So about 2 o'clock, I went, oh, I better go out there and check and see. And bring the garbage cans in. So I did not realize how deep the snow was. And I went out in tennis shoes and sunk up to my shins in the snow. And I went, how did anybody get the garbage cans even out to the curb? Because me trying to put them back in was like, I was having to pull to get it through the snow. Crazy, crazy. Then when I get back in the house, I had broken the toe out of my shoe.
Oh,
It
wow.
was it's one of those days. It is just one of those days where nothing was working like it's supposed to, and I'm frustrated. I'm wondering how many people out there might be feeling frustrated, and as the result of Mars having moved out of Aries this morning and now in Taurus, where there's a word we use in astrology sometimes called debilitated. Debilitated. A planet is debilitated in certain signs. And that just means it's not in its power, right? It's not in its power. And Taurus is a sign that Mars is debilitated in, amazingly enough. So we come out of the energy of Mars and Aries, where everything was like go and go and move and action and, impulse and, now we're in Taurus, which is much slower. Plodding through that snow today for me was like Mars and Taurus.
Yeah, and all of that is happening on the inside of each of us so that we can release our inner frustration, our inner Mars in Taurus, that debilitating feeling, and move through the I want to say lead, move through the lead and not give up on our dreams, and also at the same time not negatively talk to ourselves or sabotage our dreams or give up on our visions simply because things didn't work out today. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's absolutely true because I was in the process of doing something that I've been really excited about. I have a project in the works that I've been really excited about and I've been working it. And today I went to work on it and nothing would work, or at least it wouldn't work the way I wanted it to. And, it was funny because yesterday everything seemed to be so good, right? I was like moving along and I had my, you guys can't see it, but, on my wall over here is a board with all my little, different colored post-it notes, with my, curriculum. I'm building a curriculum. And today I couldn't get anything done. I couldn't get it onto the platform I'm using. And I was feeling very irritated with the whole thing. So I shift my focus. I'm like, okay, fine, no problem. I'm not going to work on that. I'm going to work on something else. And I couldn't work on that either.
And sometimes I think, we talked about it a little bit before the show that we were going to bring this conversation onto the show because I bet there's a lot of people that are probably feeling the same kind of energy. When the energy shifts, as you know, especially when it comes to action, when it comes to taking action and going from a place of high, like being all enthusiastic with, going forward and having everything move forward nicely, and then now, moving as slow as a goat and moving as slow as a goat and moving like through lead. One of my realizations came this morning because I also had an interesting event play out for me. I had a group this morning with my publicity media company that I hired recently, about 3 months ago, because I'm getting ready to go on national television with, you know, some of my work and different different talks that I am being pitched for. So this morning, I, as a matter of fact, you know me, Janet, I always like to be, you know, I pretty much am always like ahead of the game and I have all my stuff done and I'm ready to go. Well, it just so happened that over the last few months in my group, I was one of the ones that wasn't ready. And I wasn't ready. And it was because I really had to sit back and choose again. What is it that I want to come out of the gate with? What is it that I want to stand on national television and talk about? What is that message? What do I want to be, you know, what do I want to be known for, if you will? And so it took me a while to really choose again and give birth to things that I've already been working on for, you know, the last 10 years, but choosing it again. So I had all of my pitches done. And this morning I was the first one in the group to say, I'm ready.
I'll go first.
And then boom, I share what it is that I'm talking about. And the person, the publicist says to me, I have a lot of things to say about what you said. And the first thing I want to say is that you and I need to have a private conversation. You and I need to have a private conversation. We need to talk about privately. And then I want to talk about this, this, and this. And then she talked about everything, which kind of, you know, then set me back later on. And I'm thinking, wow, all this work and everything that I've just put together, all this what I've done. And she doesn't want me to talk about this. And I feel so good about it. I feel so good talking about it. And you know how, Janet, I help people, you know, claim their authority, right? Yep. I claim their inner authority, help people claim their inner authority. Well, now all of a sudden I was finding myself, here I am, you know, trusting my professional person that I hired, which I paid thousands of dollars for in the 7,000 figures and now she's saying she doesn't want me to talk about this. She thinks I should be talking about this. So talk about, you know, today being one of those days. So then that set me back a little bit where
it's like being pulled up short, you know, like I described it. I started to write a blog post that didn't go anywhere. And I described it like that, you know, when you slam the foot on the brake. I was going to ask you, do I have a bruise right here? Because I feel like, you know, that, and then you go forward and you smack your head. That's kind of the feeling I've got for the day today.
Yeah. So what I realized throughout all of this, and this was like after like a couple of hours after my call was over, I realized that I think that we all go through some sort of whenever we set our intention high, like let's just say, you know, we have a vision, we have a project to complete, we have something that we're about to go do, we have this intention, we put the intention out, we have a high vision. And then like yesterday, you had a great go with it. As I had putting all my effort forth, completing my pitches and doing all these things. And then you come up against what I call dead energy, lead, tar. And what happens is now this is the old energetics that we're coming up against in our own physical bodies that we're now being asked to clear and release out and let go. And most of us coaches would be able to say it's the inner saboteur that is suddenly acting out and playing out, and not to get caught up in that cycle and to give up on the vision, not to give up on your dream, but to stay true to what it is that you're passionate about, what it is that you're claiming your authority in, what it is that you want to love and energize, and to keep bringing that energy forth, even though today you had one of those days, we had one of those days, but that to keep the thoughts high, and again, show up with that same level of enthusiasm tomorrow, regardless of it not having worked today.
Yeah, true. I mean, all of that's true. Tomorrow is another day, and we might have completely different energy. Let's just check in with everybody and see how everybody else is doing here today. Hello to Tom and Debbie Hedden. Happy Valentine's Day, she says. And Suzanne, good to see you, Suzanne. Lynn Goldberg, happy Valentine's Day to you as well. And Vanita, happy V-Day, she says. Angie, good evening, happy V-Day. Angie is, I think, in Pennsylvania. So we're pulling some people from clear across the country. Let's see, Tom says, WTF, I was waiting for 8 minutes on the notice post. Thought I'd refresh the page and you're over here doing the show. The notice says you will be broadcasting soon that there is a tech problem. We did not have a tech problem. That is one blessing today, Tom, that we did not have was a tech problem. Everything seems to be going smoothly. So I don't know what's going on at your end, but happy Valentine's Day to you all. And thanks for joining us. Cornelia, do we want to continue talking about this or do we want to shift over to love and relationships?
Well, I feel like, you know, with everybody kind of not responding to they had the same kind of frustrations as you and I did, that all is well, then this is our perfect cue to shift over that, you know, all is well.
All is well. But if you guys are experiencing anything like Cornelia and I have had today, please let us know in the chat box, because, you know, sometimes there's a lag on that too, Cornelia. So it's possible that they are having that kind of an issue. It is interesting, though, to me, because it did feel, you know, when I started to write that blog post, I was thinking about the tortoise and the hare. The Aesop's fable, you know, about the hare and the tortoise were going to race. And the hare jumps up and just goes and then decides, oh, I'm so far ahead of the tortoise now. I'm just going to lay down and take a nap. And in the process, the tortoise, slow and steady, wins the race kind of mindset, moves forward and ends up catching up to the rabbit or the hare, going past it and actually winning the race. And the hare at the last minute was like, ah, frantic, let him win. And he doesn't win. The tortoise does. And it's kind of that same motif that we see in Taurus, where it is very deliberate in the action it takes. And, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're hitting your head up against a wall, or if you're running into an obstacle, sometimes that means the timing isn't right, or that something isn't, you know, coalesced yet around that whole idea or that whole thing that you're trying to do. And maybe you need to sit back and just wait to see what happens. And, you know, it's really hard to remember all of that yourself when you're in the midst of it. So anyway, no one is mentioning that they're having anything like that going on. So, you know, I'm going to ask you a question, Cornelia, because often, you know, Valentine's Day brings up some really bad feelings for people, particularly if they're not in a relationship. Or, you know, they see, you know, splashed on the screens of their lives, you know, people going out, getting candy, getting flowers, getting, you know, dates, and they don't have that in their life. You know, and it creates that emotional feeling of not being loved. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's still part of our old world conditioning that we're clearing out, that, you know, Valentine's Day brings all of that old stuff up to the surface of not feeling loved, especially if you're not in a thriving, abundant, loving relationship with a partner. But the truth is that you are in a relationship with yourself and you are in a relationship with your creator. And so this day, you know, especially will be the perfect day to treat yourself to that own inner love, that place, you know, if people don't feel the love, if they're not feeling connected, if they're not feeling, at one with their creator, this is a perfect time to really cultivate that energy and experience you. I think we talked about this before, becoming your own best friend, becoming your own best partner, and bringing that amazing love that you are to that present moment and you know, loving yourself through this. So if you're feeling less than, or if it's feeling less than, to bring your love to it, you know, to bring your love there, right?
Yeah, I wonder how many people realize what Valentine's Day really was about, or what Saint Valentine. There was a real person named Saint Valentine, or he became a saint. But this day was really about martyrdom, mm-hmm. because Valentine was a monk that was imprisoned for wedding soldiers, doing weddings against the advice of the church. And so he spent quite a bit of his life in prison for supporting love and for, you know, bringing people together. So there's a theme around this day that isn't about love and relationships at all, right? It's not about the love. It was about this man who was being martyred for, you know, if you are going to become a saint, it's because you've done a lot of work or because you've become a martyr. And that's what Valentine was, a martyr, and who continued to do weddings against the church and ended up imprisoned for them.
Yeah. And can you imagine all that collective energy just around that, that's coming up to the surface to be cleared and healed? But we also are being invited now to look at what does Valentine's Day mean to you? So like all the audience, all the people that are listening, I think it would be great for us to ask everybody, what does Valentine's Day mean to each and every one of you? Because we get to decide what we want to buy into as far as Valentine's Day. You know, when it comes to all of these holidays, these holidays that we've been trained and conditioned by over the years, but now it's really a matter of looking at what it means to each and every one of us, right?
Yes, exactly. I'm not distracted. I'm actually constructing a poll really quickly to put out there to everybody that's listening.
Right now, this is the perfect time to find out, you know, what do you feel about Valentine's Day? Because I think Valentine's Day is every day. Every day is an opportunity. Every moment is an opportunity to express love to ourselves and each other. Every opportunity, every moment, every day, every sacred encounter that we experience with each other is an opportunity to bring our love, to bring our consciousness, to bring our unity to the present moment. So it's always another juicy invitation to express our love to each other.
So I'm not sure if the poll is out there yet, but I said, what does Valentine's Day mean to you? And you'll have a choice to be able to tell us what that means. And let's see, that's help. I don't need help. Thank you very much. I just need to get this poll started. But, you know, here's the case that of, you know, a lot of people who come to this day, you know, they're really very much, they understand its idea of love, but where did that come from, right? We see hearts and things, you know, blasted out to everybody. And I want to say that it's really, how can there only be one day a year where we devote our energy to love? How can that be?
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, you know, even when back in the day, you know, going to church, you're going to church on Sunday. How can there be only one day a week when you devote your love and your consciousness to God or to your creator? How can there only be one day a week when having a strong spiritual practice is something that we all need to have and cultivate, you know, every day?
Yeah,
every
exactly.
Day, right? And cultivating that inner lover. How we want to be loved, how we want to be respected, how we want to be honored. That's all part of our practice on a daily basis, not just on this one day.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, now we're getting some really good comments. Now, somebody out there who's paying attention to the screen, like you're seeing it on your screen and not just listening, can you tell me if you saw a poll that popped up? Because I've never used this function before. And to my eyes, it didn't look like it went anywhere.
I didn't see a poll.
I don't know that you would see it. I could see it. And So somebody out there, let me know if they saw it. Here are some of the comments, though, that people are saying. Debbie Hedden, my only issue has been I have felt electrified or almost high and can't stop talking. I'm annoying myself, let alone my friends. That's her description of the energy for today. So Debbie, lucky you. Vanita says, thinking about going out and picking up cheesecake. Yum. Tom, all the Christian martyrs were called Valentine after the monk Valentine. Capitalists jumped on it in the late 19th century with cards and crap. Tom writes, I love me. That's an important part of this too. Suzanne, I feel blessed that Valentine's Day does not bother me. I have been single for about 11 years and I plan on staying that way. I am happy. I feel sad for the ones that can't feel like this. And happy Valentine's Day to you, Debbie. Debbie Tibbetts Tumiel. And Debbie says, the other Debbie, really means nothing to me. I acknowledge my grandchildren. Everyone knows I love them already. Tom says, if there are any secret admirers out there, now's the time to speak up. And Debbie says, me, love for everyone. Angie, I think Valentine's Day is now too commercialized. Like Cornelia said, I think Valentine's Day should be every day. It's not just about our significant others that we give love to. It should be everyone that we give love to and ourselves too. Cool. Vanita, it means to me a day of reflection and focus in love of all kinds and gratitude.
Perfect.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Suzanne agrees that we need to be showing love to our loved ones every single day. Debbie says, I'm all for any day that celebrates love. Angie's telling me she doesn't see the poll. So dag nabbit, I'm going to have to learn how to use that. And Vanita, poll, P-O-L-L, poll, not P-O-L-E. And that was Tom. Check the poll vault. I don't even know what to say to that, Tom. So maybe we had to add the poll before. Oh, I bet I had to send it to the, hold on, let me see if I can ask that question. No, I'm not even going to mess with it. I don't want to waste the time right now. But so that's a lot of really good answers. I think a lot of people that are listening here get this. But what if you are in an emotional crisis because of this? What tools do you have to be able to move through a day like today? Because I know there are people out there, maybe not the people that are tuning into us right now, but there are people out there who find this day tremendously sorrowful and not filled with love.
Well, if that's the case, then there's some grieving to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's some grieving to do and really look at, you know, if this day isn't filled with love, if you're not really feeling great, then there's grieving to do. And following the thought to the emotion, to what it is that you're feeling. And have a good cry. Allow yourself to feel whatever it is that you're feeling. Like if you're still feeling pain from the past, you know, whatever the emotion is, follow that thought that's, you know, attached to the emotion, and you know, whatever the experience is for you, so that you can, you know, look at it within yourself and say, okay, you know, I want to change this. I want to change this in my life, and I want to release this energy. I don't want to carry this burden anymore. I want to let this go, and you know, call in your angels, call in your guides, you know, just, I really feel like the grieving piece, this, whenever I'm in a situation, that's always the thing that I allow myself to do. I allow myself to sit down and feel the pain and feel the grief. And then once I move through it, you know, and allow all those emotions to be felt and released, that's when I can come out on the other side and sit. And then I can say, okay, now what is it that you want to experience? One of your listeners, Janet, said that she has been single for 11 years and that she loves being with herself. You know, I can totally relate to that, because for the longest time, you know, I was in a celibate situation and I was single and I didn't want to have a relationship, mainly because I wanted to focus all of my energy on my own soul healing. on my own inner healing. And I did not want, first of all, to share my time and space with anyone. I really wanted to be present for my own spiritual journey. And I didn't want the person in a relationship with me to be like on the receiving end of any of my moody crap and whatever it is that I was going through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons why I chose to be single for as long as I was, because I did not want to share my time, and I didn't want to share my pain. I didn't expect another person to come in and, you know, save the day, or, you know, fix anything. I wanted to move past it. And then It was a couple years ago where finally, when I said, I'm ready, I'm really ready now to share my space and to allow and call in my partner. I'm ready to experience myself in a vulnerable way, in an intimate way with my partner. And I want to share my life and I want to share my space. And, you know, making a room for that person to come in your life, you have to really be ready. In my case, it happened, you know, 2 days later, the person showed up and it was like, oh my God, right? Like, suddenly, you know, where once, you know, you didn't have a relationship, and then now all of a sudden you have to share your space. So people be, you know, aware of it can happen that fast. It can happen that quick. And unlike you, Janet, I was noticing today on Facebook, you know, you and Terry being married for 38 years.
We've been married. We'll be married for 37 years in April, but we've been together for 38 years.
38 years. So, you know, not everybody has your guys's kind of luck. Luck
and longevity.
I mean, you know, a friend of mine was married to his wife for 64 years. So these are so far and few in between, these kind of statistics, right? You and Terry just have always seemed to have been able to, you know, be wonderful mirrors for each other and support each other and love each other throughout all the different things that you've experienced. And you've experienced a lot, given birth to 4 children and I don't know how many grandchildren.
9
grandchildren.
9.
So that's a lot. And not everybody, you know, has this fortune that you've had with your relationship with Terry. So what would you say, Janet, is the secret to, you know, the longevity in this, in your relationship with your husband?
You know, that's a huge volume that I could speak to on that, because there's a lot of things. I mean, you're right. We've been through many ups and downs and ins and outs and all arounds in our relationship. But there's one thing that I always come back to, and that was about love. On the underside of everything, no matter what was going on, there was never a time I didn't love him, that there was that deep abiding love. And because, and this is going to sound rather corny, but this is really how I felt. And I think in some ways he must have felt that way too, is that we took a vow. And to me, that vow was precious and it was worth standing by. And that was, you know, till death do us part. And, you know, I don't think that you can get through a relationship without work, right? We had to work at times, and sometimes it was not fun at all. And yet here we are, we're still, you know, we're still together, even through God knows, you know, many different things. We've had so many blessings as well. And that's mostly what I would try to focus on. So I don't know, relationships are not for the weak at heart or the faint of heart.
You said it, relationships. This isn't sometimes, relationships take work. And especially the relationships in the new world. And the reason why that is so important is because we're releasing our old humanity, the way that we used to relate to the old world, you know, while we're simultaneously creating the new. And so then we're in karmic relationships, or we're in toxic relationships, or we're in abusive relationships. And that throughout those relationships, we get to claim our boundaries, and we get to claim our power, and we get to say no more to disrespect, no more to devaluing, no more to dishonoring. I, you know, no more to these things. And so those relationships then end until you yourself then come to a place of where you're making choices and decision automatically from the subconscious that has been now reprogrammed that love, honor, and respect only in this circle, yeah, in this, you know, environment, right? And yeah, one of the things about Terry and what I know about the two of you is, you know, Terry has supported you and has honored your path, and you know, has, you two have been like a wonderful dance back and forth with each other, with the masculine and feminine working together in harmony. And it doesn't mean that you guys didn't have your fires, and it doesn't mean that you guys didn't have your things, but you continuously kept working back and forth. And the times where you didn't feel that you were supported, then you could have those conversations, right?
Yeah. And I think there's no small measure of intention behind a relationship as well. I mean, there's, I always think about if we're in a fight, now, and this didn't come in the early years, right? If we're in an argument or a fight or a disagreement, there was always this question, you know, about what is he showing me? You know, he's my closest confidant. He's the closest person to me in my life. So what is he showing me about me? And I was willing to do that. Some people aren't willing to do it, right? We're looking often at relationships and we're splashing out the things that we don't want to think about onto other people, projection, right? Projecting onto others. But as we, you know, moved through things in our lives, I began to look at it that way. Because I know when we started out our relationship, it was always like, I was going to change him. I was going to make him, you know, what I was going to mold him, turn him into what I wanted. And, you know, you realize as time goes on, that's not possible, because that's not love, right? That isn't loving at all. Unconditional love is about allowing people to be who they are and loving them despite the things that, you know, because we all have those parts of us that are not the pretty parts, and loving each other despite that, because you see deeper, you see into, you know, that person's soul and not just the superficial face that that person is showing you. So it's interesting when you deal with relationships, and as we're starting to move into this higher paradigm, and we're really being called upon to be more than what we've been, we're going to be challenged in all kinds of relationships. It isn't just the one-on-one relationships, our marriages or our significant others. I mean, you are literally a relationship authority, and I mean, all of the relationships that we have with everything, right? Money, with each other, with our work that we do, with our family, our friends, etc. So relationship is much bigger now, I believe, than it has been thought of in the past.
Well, you said it, Janet. You said you were doing the work. What was Terry showing you? Like, you know, when we were talking earlier and I was talking about how I was putting my pitches together now and go on television. And one of the things is the projection of what are your relationships mirroring to you, and what is being triggered in you, you know, by an event, by a person, by a partner, by a business associate, by a friend. What is this person mirroring to you, and what is it coming up for you? What is it that you're really willing to release and let go of, and not project your own, you know, lower self, your own humanity onto that other person, but you're willing to look back and say, wait a minute, what is this about for me? How does this make me feel? What do I want to release and let go of? And, you know, am I not feeling honored here? Am I not feeling heard? Am I feeling devalued? Am I feeling, less than? Am I feeling not good enough? And whatever the feelings are, it's that present moment experience is assisting each and every single person to release the separation wound, to release the core wound of whatever it is, and come back home to a greater love for self in unity consciousness within your being and also with your creator and all of life, right? And so that any experience that triggers us in whatever relationship that we're in, we're using that experience as a catalyst to come home to the truth of who we are. And the truth of who we are is, we talked about this before, we are the second coming. We are the universal Christ.
I love that. I just love that.
We are the second coming. We are the universal Christ. We are, you know, source in form. We are, you know, billions of offspring of gods in form, walking around, realizing that we've never been separate and that we are now coming home to the truth of who we are. One of the things that, you know, that I talk about a lot is, I don't know where I got this, but I read this somewhere once, that we're ending a 26,000 year cycle. So yeah. we're ending a 26,000 year cycle, and we're beginning an entirely new era, an entirely new way of living and being that we don't even know yet how it's all going to be, because we need to get so comfortable and be so comfortable living in the unknown, not knowing how to do something, not knowing what's next. And really being comfortable in the unknown and trusting our own intuitive guidance as we are taking the next steps, as these codes are activating within our being to, you know, help us express ourselves for the greater whole. And so in this ending of this 26,000 year cycle, that we have lived everything that we were not, everything that we were not. And now we're beginning a brand new cycle to live and remember everything that we are. And everything that we are is just so vast, so amazing. And just like Jesus said, or Joshua said, or Christ has shown us, that what he came to do, we can do greater. And for us to really pick up that mantle and take that torch and stand in that light and realize that light. And that is the divine relationship. That is the relationship that we are to now engage each other with and offer that compassion, offer that unconditional love, offer a way to build a bridge and to see your perspective and see my perspective, that it's okay the way that you think and it's okay the way that I think. And it doesn't have to be, you know, we don't have to think the same way, but that it's our diversity, our uniqueness that actually, you know, strengthens the whole, and to really yeah. open ourselves up to the way that we relate to each other in that way. So that's part of that new relationship that we're talking about, Janet.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, the 26,000 year cycle, it's really 26,500. Some years. It's an age. It's called the, you know, it's the age of Pisces moving into the age of Aquarius. Those are 26,000 year cycles, long periods of time that, you know, pretty much chronicle our evolution of consciousness. And the fact that we are at that cusp of switching into this new age. I love the way you said that. Can you say that again? You know, where we were remembering who we were, we forgot who we were, and then we're going to remember who we are.
Yeah. So we were living, just think about these last 26,000 years that we've been living. We've mm-hmm. been living everything that we're not. So like as say, you know, we've been living everything that we're not, like we've been living and acting like it. So like we've been acting like we're not good enough. We've been acting like we've been abandoned. We've been acting like we've betrayed ourselves. We've been
victims.
Acting like we're victims. We're acting like we're shameful. We're acting like we are not abundant, that we're living in scarcity. We've been living all of that, and that's all been working for us, and it's been paying off, and we've been living that cycle out really well. And now we're moving into our true human potential, into remembering everything that we are, and remembering that we are self-realized beings, that we can realize the self in any given moment, at any point in time, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter your color, no matter your race, it doesn't matter what you have in your bank account. None of those things matters, because we're all equals. and we're all extensions of one another. So whatever it is that I am mirroring to you, and whatever the judgment is that someone has against me or whatever it is, it's only the mirror that's pointing back to them so that they can see what is that about for them and how do they feel about that. You know, because there was once when I was in therapy, long time ago, back in, you know, like 30 years ago, and my psychiatrist gave me the rules on how to be human, the 10 rules on how to be human. I remember, and I love number seven. And number seven says, you cannot love or hate something about another person unless it reflects to you something that you love or hate about yourself.
That's profound for 30 years ago, that's for sure.
That was number seven. And I don't remember any of the rules, but I remember that one because that one really hit home, right?
Yeah.
And so part of, you know, when we were talking, Janet, about, you know, how does one become their own authority? And one of the, you know, because what we all want to come to is we all want to realize our own inner sovereign being and be our own authority. So all the places where we've turned over our power and given our power away to anything outside of ourselves, this is the part that we're recollecting, and this is the relationship that we are now, you know, cultivating on a greater level, yeah, on a deeper, more devoted, sacred practice. And the reason why, you know, I teach and I talk about these things is because this is the way that I've done it for myself. So this is what I've done for myself. Anyone else can do. It's just that each person is to trust whatever, wherever they are, and accept themselves for whoever they are, and that what they're speaking and what they're saying is gold, and that is enough, and that is the truth.
Yes. You know, it's amazing. Some of the people in their comments they've been making out here, Vanita said, her ex showed her that she was invisible, but I thought it was interesting on a quiz about choosing a superpower, I chose invisibility.
Oh, wow.
Both a pain and a protection. Tom said my former and myself were too proud and selfish. We reconciled after a separation, but it only lasted about 9 or 10 months. Debbie says it takes two people to get there, not just one. Very true. That's why it's a relationship. It's two people or more. Vanita, my parents have been married for 57 years.
Wow.
Debbie Hedden says she will be married 42 for her husband and her.
Wow.
Here, Debbie, TT, and Cornelia, I've had a winter of grieving. Music has played a huge part in my healing and releasing, sad songs and not so sad songs, and music that just plucks the heartstrings. Bee Gees, Fanny, Be Tender with My Love. Just the other day, I was sobbing to it, connected to my teenage self in my bedroom back then when the song was brand new. He's a lot lighter for it, he says. There's more to come for certain. There was someone else, Debbie, I think it was, Debbie, somebody, her parents have been married for 62 years. I mean, there's some longevity out there.
Wow. It's
pretty amazing to me.
That is.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was. Debbie Tibbetts, her parents, 60 years.
That's incredible. That's incredible. There's so much love and so much wisdom there, you know, to be able to be with one person for this long. It's really, really incredible. What was I thinking about? I just lost it. I lost it. Oh, well.
Oh, that's okay. Because I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the two planets out there that we really think about in relationships are Mars and Venus. And Venus right now in Capricorn, and Mars having moved just today into Taurus, a sign that Venus rules. So Mars right now is in a sign where he is going to have to balance his energies against that of the feminine. And maybe that's that part that I was even experiencing, you were experiencing today. How do we bring both of those parts of ourselves into balance and harmony? Because it's hard. it's hard. And, you know, the Mars male masculine piece wants action, wants us to take steps, to be assertive, to gain ground. And the feminine side is more receptive and waits for things to come and waits for things to happen. And yet, you know, we're a complete person. So we have both of those sides to us. One way that we can look at how this is evolving, you know, if we take that evolutionary step, is to look through human design eyes, because human design and the gene keys give us really great insight into the themes that are happening. And one of the themes happening here with Mars over the next few, probably the next 8 to 10 days, is about nurturing. In the sign of Taurus, it's a very sensual sign. And it speaks to self-love and self-worth and taking care of oneself and taking care of one's family, friends, children, spouse, taking care of one's, you know, cooking for, caring for for all of your relationships, and including the one for yourself. And that's what Mars will be sitting at. Venus, on the other hand, is in a much more...
Can I say something about that?
Yeah.
I want to say something about, so Mars is, you know, the action taker. So it's also the new divine masculine, and the new divine masculine in all of us. So the new divine masculine in all of us is being called now to be the nurturer, to be the nurturer and to cook and to do all of these things. And when you think about it, I know a lot of men that are such great cooks. that are excellent nurturers, that just, you know, that are amazing. And so, you know, if that's playing out, it's welcoming the men to come in and cook us feasts and, you know, nurture us. And yeah, I just think that's just a wonderful.
I love that, because that's one of the things, you know, Saturday and Sunday comes along, I get breakfast made for me, right? I don't have to cook. Terry does the cooking. On the weekdays, I'm the one that does the cooking, mostly for evening, you know, for the dinner, because we're both in the, you know, fast lane moving around in the morning. So, you know, we're busy getting our own breakfasts done. But on the weekends, he does the cooking. And sometimes it doesn't turn out so well, but it doesn't matter. It's that he did that for me. And most times it's really great, and it's really great. And he'll do things like he'll put it on a tray, and he'll put like a dish towel down and a little flower or something and hand that to me. And I'm like, where did you come from? It's so wonderful to have that Mars person, the masculine, that's also in touch with the feminine. And then the feminine then also needing to be in touch with the masculine. And I started to say about Venus, where she is right now, she's in probably the more interesting place, in that she's sitting in the gate of fight, where there's this struggle, and the struggle is to find the right things to stand up for, and, you know, to hold your ground when necessary, to, you know, rise up when
to
necessary.
Be an authority.
Yeah, exactly. In whatever way. I mean, if the fight right now, you know, we see it in the outer world, right? We're trying to get more women involved in politics and science and things like that. Women are breaking into new territory, getting equal pay for equal jobs. All of these things are struggles that Venus has been working through, but we have to pick our battles wisely.
Yeah.
Right? So that we're not just fighting, you know, out there, just everything that's out and about and everything, you know, pushing back against everything. But, you know, what is it that we really envision for ourselves? Which direction do we really want to go? And finding the most important space to hold that for ourselves. And I think the most worthy of that would be to bring ourselves into balance within ourselves, right? Bringing our masculine and our feminine into that balance.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking about Venus and Mars, because, you know, in my astrology chart, I've got Venus and Mars, both of them together in the sign of Scorpio, right? And talking about, you know, alchemy, you know, so this whole thing has been, you know, welcome to my world, right? It's been interesting to have Venus and Mars together, both in Scorpio, in the sign of death and rebirth, because I've constantly had this inner battle going on with my Venus and my Mars on how to honor each other. And hence all the work I've created, all my tools and everything, it all about harmony and love and honor and respect because of the Venus and Mars working together, right? Yep. So I love what you said about Venus now standing up for what is it that she really wants to come out of the gate with? What does she want to, you know, stand up for? What does she want to, you know, fight for? Not from a place of, you know, going on protests, but from a place,
And not that I think protests are wrong. Don't get me. I think there are plenty of, you know, positive things that can come from protest. But it's about choosing what you're going to stand up and fight for. The very next place that she hits upon, Cornelia, is ambition and drive. And in if we look at that through through sort of the multi-level, what we're seeing there is then a spiritual journey. Right, the impulse to move out into the world in new ways, with new power, with new authority, and that's specifically Venus's journey right now.
Well, what's interesting, I want to bring note to when you're talking about Venus, ambition, and power, is we have in our old world we've seen men be honored and recognized for being ambitious and being in their power, and he's aggressive and he's in his ambition. And all of that. Now it's women that are becoming ambitious and that are really fully feeling driven, really being driven, being ambitious, and using that inner force, if you will, and find a place of equality to where she's not looked upon as, oh, she's too aggressive, she's too this, she's too that. No, she's ambitious. She's ambitious, and she's going after what she wants. So though this, I think, is what you're referring to,
Yeah. And not only, you know, this is a process, so it's ongoing. It doesn't happen overnight just because she's there, you know, for 7 to 10 days in this gate. Doesn't mean that, you know, we've turned that corner. But it's that struggle that we're building on. And that struggle leading to that ambition and to that, you know, literally, to me, that the gate that she goes to next is about enlightenment. And that speaks to the sum of the ascension energies that we talk about, you know, in the evolution of consciousness and what have you. The other thing that I find interesting is you brought up the idea of this 26,000 year cycle. And that cycle to me speaks immediately of the coming of the age of Aquarius. Some would say we're already there. Some would say we're on the cusp. No matter what, the age of Aquarius brings us closer and closer together, the masculine and feminine blending. And it doesn't mean we won't have women and we won't have men, but that energy of Aquarius is really androgynous. Where both are valued, you know, both of the qualities that we think of as masculine and feminine are valued in wholeness within each person.
And isn't that our father and mother God? Isn't that the same? Isn't that energy the same? And that is the energy that we are, you know, balancing and harmonizing within our own physical body constructs. And now then taking action and building our light bodies, building our bodies, building our new legacies, building our new world from a place of being completely in balance from within. I want to remind everybody, Janet, and I know you've got the controls there to put our link for our YouTube channel in below, because we want everybody to sign up for our YouTube channel and subscribe and share our YouTubes, because we want to build that channel and we'd love it if you all would support us. And it's part of Venus asking for support to, would you like, share and subscribe to our YouTube channel? Because that's going to really assist us in bringing those numbers up. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. I think I have the link here. I'm going to copy that and post it here for people. I'm going to hide this one.
It's been a great show. We've only have a couple minutes left, Janet. And where did the hour go?
I don't know. Let's see if there's any final comments people are saying here. Tom just pointing out that Alexandra Cortez, Alex, what is her name? Cortez Ocasio or Ocasio-Cortez is an example of Venus and Mars. Yeah, she's a great example of youthful blending of masculine and the feminine. That's not, it's not quite matured yet within her, but oh my goodness, could she be a force to be reckoned with someday? And you know, we need more of women to be able to see that they have these two parts, and then you know, bring the best of those things out. The world needs that. Next week, let's talk about a little bit about next week, because next week, the 21st, God, I can't believe we're already, that would take us into the third week of February already. We're going to shift to our focus to finances and money and abundance. And that's because the sun, or at least, you know, I thought it was a great idea because the sun is going to be sitting here focused on the gate 55 in your human design, which is about the abundance of spirit, our birthright abundance, not the fact that you think you have to go out and work and earn and make a living. It's about the birthright that we have as human beings. So that's part of what we'll talk about next week, right here, 4 o'clock p.m. on the West Coast, 7 p.m. on the East Coast. And I love this because, you know, Cornelia is the she's all about the millionaire imprint for women. And you'll get to bring some really good information, I'm sure, to all of the listeners about abundance and money and all things to do with the idea of flow and abundance.
Yeah, and I'm
So.
looking forward to the audience also being able to share their insights about what abundance means to them, just like, you know, like we were talking about what Valentine's Day means to them. What does abundance mean to them? Because each and every person has to discover what something means to them, as their own inner truth. That's how they become their inner sovereign. That's how they become their inner guru. That's how they become the inner authority once they know what something means to them. And abundance is another one of those key areas in our life that that we have to really be able to feel from the inside out, right?
Yeah,
So.
exactly. It's an interesting concept. I think lots of people have lots of ideas about what that means and about what they deserve, about what, you know, is going on in their life as far as, you know, prosperity and scarcity. So should be an interesting show next week.
Going to be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. We are getting the YouTube channel closer and closer to being properly set up. I know we've got the banner. I didn't see the banner on there today, but we're working that in the background. So we are refining and getting closer and closer to how we want this to look. Hang in there, and we'll be glad to see you next week. For now, thank
Thanks
you
so
so much.
much, everybody.
Happy
Yeah.
Valentine's Day. Mwah! Love to all of you.
Okay,
Bye
bye.
for now.